How many of you have ever wanted to kill yourself? Go ahead, you can raise your hand. Nobody's going to see you, probably. I mean, you might be driving, sitting in a room by yourself listening to this. If somebody's around, I don't know, maybe you might not want to raise your hand right now. But go ahead, raise your hand if you've ever wanted to leave this life. If things have ever been so bad that you wanted out. Stop the ride and let me get off. I can't take another minute of this pain. You know what? That is human. Because I'm raising my hand. I wanted to end my life on October the 9th of this year. I didn't want to live for another minute. And I was pacing the living room of the home where I was staying. Nobody was home. And I saw a very heavy metal letter opener on the table. And I picked it up. And I turned it so that it would slice through my ribs. And I pushed it an eighth of an inch into my chest. I didn't break the skin. I just wanted to see. I really don't think I would have done anything to myself. Because as I like to tell people, I amuse myself too much. But I wanted to. It was in me. I wanted to do it because I'd had enough. And my friend Clyde told me that, you know, unless a trial is real, where is the glory? Where's the magnificence of the overcoming? Unless Jesus Christ in Gethsemane wants to get out of the cross and would, and he prays to his Father, Lord, if there is another way, if there is an alternative to Calvary, bring it on. And if God would have said, you know, there is a plan B, Jesus would have walked from that place smiling, probably even laughing. He would have gone for it. He wanted out badly. That's how real the trial was. I wanted out badly. And you want out badly. It has to be real. This is not theoretical. For the celestials, the angels, the messengers in the heavens who are watching us, the stunning part of our overcoming, the stunning part that we go on, the stunning part about our ability to be able to live another day in this cauldron of evil and pain is that the temptations are real, and the traumas and the trials are real, and the desire to get off the ride is real. You're struggling with something that is real. This isn't an experiment. This is not a test. This is not a test. This is not a drill. You are going through the real deal. This is game time. These are the major leagues here, okay? You think the angels want to come down here and live what you're going through? Are you kidding me? None of them want to do that. They're happy up in their air-conditioned kingdom up in heaven. On the other hand, I've taught this before, they envy you in another sense. They envy you theoretically. They really wouldn't trade places with you if they had the chance. But they know what we're coming into. They know that we are going to eventually rule and reign over them. Because the spiritual principle is the lower you go, the higher you go. The deeper the dregs, the more bitter dregs you taste, the sweeter the nectar of deliverance is. That's why Jesus Christ, when he became the lowest of the low, he was ascended to the highest of the high, because of it's the contrast principle. The lowest become the highest, and he can have that. I will gladly honor, praise, and worship him when he is seated above every sovereignty and authority. When he is the highest, when he is the firstborn, he's our elder brother. He can have it. I'm thankful that he has it, because I don't want to have gone through what he went through. Never. I would never want to trade places with him. Neither would any of you. Oh, if I could just be Jesus and walk like Jesus. Get over it. You never will, you never can, and you never want to. And if you do, you just don't understand the situation. Paul himself despaired of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning our afflictions which came to us in the province of Asia, that we were inordinately burdened over our ability, so that we were despairing of life also. Before I get to the despairing of life part, I want to talk about this inordinately. This is a very powerful word. It's in the Greek, the elements are overcast, above and beyond, hyperbole, hyperbole. I think there's a U in there, but it's the same sense of our hyperbole. It's over and above. It's an exaggeration. It's redundant, redundantly ridiculous, the trials Paul was going through. It was translated elsewhere in the Concordant Literal New Testament, transcendent. And here's the context. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul speaks of a transcendent aeonian burden of glory. This is the same word that's translated inordinately concerning Paul's trials in 2 Corinthians 1:8. The same transcendence of glory that we're going to have in the heavens, Paul is feeling that measure of transcendence in pain. But yet, don't despair over that, because in another place, he says that our present afflictions don't deserve the glory. Is that 18? Romans 8:18? Our present trials don't deserve the glory about to be revealed. Not worthy to be compared to it. So, Paul thought it was ridiculous. That's the word we would use. Paul said, inordinately burdened. We say, frickin' ridiculous. That's the modern vernacular. This is frickin' ridiculous. I've heard of evil, but why this much? He said it was over our ability. Then how did he survive? If it's over your ability, then you can't survive. You know, you often hear that people comfort you with this or try to. You know, God won't give you anything you're not able to bear. It's like, God's not too careful about this. He set the pot to boiling and he's walked away. He's carrying on an errand. He doesn't realize how bad it's getting down here. That's what it seems. Over our ability. I can't take this anymore. But actually, you can. I don't know how that works. I really don't, except it's an infusion of the Spirit of God. Sometimes, all you have left is a shred of faith. You're hanging by your fingernail. And you know what? That's good enough. It's good enough. If you're hanging by your fingernail, congratulations. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, we who are surviving to the presence of the Lord. You're surviving? Is that all you're doing? Surviving? Congratulations. You qualify for the snatching away. We who are surviving. I'm only surviving, Martin. I'm barely surviving. You're surviving. What did you say? You're surviving? Congratulations. You qualify. It's ugly. Okay? Nobody says it's pretty. When the Allied forces landed in France on D-Day, June 6, 1944, it was ugly. We had a lot of screw-ups. We had a bunch of paratroopers that were supposed to be a decoy over here. They got slaughtered by machine gun fire. A lot of the landing craft didn't even make it to the shore. Some men drowned before they even got to shore. There were so many screw-ups, and we barely got a toehold onto the shores of Europe. But you know what? Barely was good enough. It was good enough. You expect too much of yourself sometimes, don't you? You really do. You know what that is? That's a backhanded form of creature worship. I could have done better. Really? No, you couldn't have. No, you couldn't have. Maybe next time you will. I'm not saying don't be an optimist. We should be optimists. Next time I'm going to do better. That's great. We should all say that. But after you screw up, you couldn't have done anything but screw up. It was destined before the foundation of the world for you to screw up. So you have to get over it soon after it happens. That's hard to do because we regret and we squeeze and we just, you rend your garment sometimes. You just rip your shirt or you pull your hair. That's what I do. Sometimes I even slap myself and I'll pull my hair. It's like, God, oh, why did I do that? Or why did I say that? Or if I just done this, everything would have been different. And I'm all for making amends and I'm all for apologizing. I apologize a lot. Because I screw up a lot. It's sometimes great to be a screw up because it's so fun to apologize. I love apologizing. I'm sorry. Sometimes I say it this way. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, my kids used to have these insincere apologies. I've told this to people and they think it's really hilarious. When we would tell my son Gabe, for instance, to apologize to Luke. Now tell your brother you're sorry for stealing his toy. He would come up to him and say, "Pari, pari." He'd be saying it but not saying it. It was an insincere apology. But I love to apologize to people. You can't do it unless you screw up. For we don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning our affliction, which came to us in the province of Asia. We were inordinately burdened over our ability, so that we were despairing of life also. There it is. It goes over the top. It's over your ability. It reaches a boiling point. What does water do when it reaches a boiling point? It can't get any hotter. 212 degrees, right? Water can't get any hotter than 212. So it's freaking out. It wants to go more, but it isn't. So it starts evaporating. All the bubbles start coming up. It can't take anymore. So when you can't take anymore, you just want it to end. You can't take one more degree of heat, one more degree of pressure, one more degree of trial. And so you bubble over, and he says, we were despairing of life also. I've wondered about this before. I said, what does Paul mean exactly? Is he saying we're despairing of life in the sense that he doesn't know whether they're going to be able to continue living, like the day and the night in the swamp? Was he despairing of life in that he thought that some terrible swamp monster was going to come out and get him, or that some terrible infection was going to seep into the cut between his big toe and his second toe, and he was going to kill him eventually? I don't think so. I don't think he was despairing of the circumstance. I think he was tired of living. Despairing of life. I've had enough. I don't want to live anymore. And that's real. And if it can happen to the Apostle Paul, why can't it happen to you? Again, we're living in the most evil eon there has ever been. Galatians 1:4, this present wicked eon. No wonder you're having a bad day, right? All right, I'm going to finish this section, 2 Corinthians, tomorrow, Friday already. I can't believe it. I still got John 18:36 on the shelf. I can see it over there. It's on the shelf. There it is. Hopefully, I can finish up with that tomorrow. Kind of a two-part address to you tomorrow, let's say, possibly. We're going to finish this up in 2 Corinthians 1. I love the word face later in this passage. We're going to look at that, and we're going to talk about Jesus' composure and how we can survive being under the jurisdiction of darkness. I'm Martin Zender. I hope you're here tomorrow.